He wants to go, But it makes you want to go, doesn't it? Stay off, sir.
Things that make you go,
All right, I hope you guys are having a great weekend. I am having an amazing weekend because yesterday my team, my school, the University of Illinois, where I kind of went to college, I went to law school there, was a 30.5-point underdog and beat Wisconsin. Upset of the year is incredible. I see people from Wisconsin. Outwardly, I am sad. Inwardly, I rejoice at your pain. Great weekend, and I am super excited for next weekend, because next weekend, we are starting a series called...
Boom, 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 boom. It happens. How to stay calm when it hits the fan.
That's right. It happens. How to stay calm when it hits... We're going to talk about how God can help us when life goes wrong. We're going to study a verse, really kind of get in depth with it, Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And the Bible will be great for you, and it'll be great for your friends who may not believe, probably don't go to church. Great chance to invite people. In fact, we've got invite cards. We're going to give you a couple of these on your way out today. And when you give these out, it doesn't have to be weird, like to invite somebody to church. Like, you know, you're at the coffee pot this week at work, and one of your coworkers there, you're sitting at your kid's game with another parent, and you say something like, hey, I go to this cool church. It's Verve. It's church for people who don't like church. Maybe you've seen the billboards. Anyway, we're starting this series called It Happens. It's going to be all about how God can help us. You should check it out. I'd love to see you there. Nice and simple, easy to do, right? All right, so this week we are concluding a teaching series we've been doing called Things That Make You Go, The idea is if you are someone who is curious and wants to investigate Christianity, there are literally volumes of evidence, hardcore evidence that you can study. Science, history, archaeology, you can do bibliographical tests on documents. Christianity is unique in that it is based on history and invites people to examine it and only believe it if it can be proven true. We've done lots of series on that kind of hardcore evidence. This series is not that. Instead, what we're looking at is evidence for people who are not curious and don't want to investigate Christianity. And it does not necessarily, this evidence, prove that Christianity is true beyond any reasonable doubt, but it does make you go, The series is kind of based on something God says in the Old Testament of the Bible, in the book of Isaiah. We put all the Bible verses on the screen, give out free Bibles at the Velcro bar if you need one. God says, I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. I was found by those who did not seek me. To a nation that did not call on my name, I said, Here am I. All day long, I've held out my hand to an obstinate people. He's saying, like, even for people who are not interested in me, I love them so much that I'm trying to make myself known so that we can have relationship. So the first week of the series, we talked about the artist formerly known as God. We thought about how beautiful and complex the world is, and there must be a designer behind it all. And last week we talked about this hole in our hearts, that we sense this emptiness. We long for something that's missing from our lives. Maybe I was made for something I haven't found yet. Maybe it's God. Today I want us to think about Jesus as a game changer, because Jesus is the game changer, which is fascinating because Jesus was born in poverty. He was literally born in a barn with animals and their manure because he had poor parents. As a child, Jesus was an immigrant. As an adult, he was homeless. Jesus died the death of a common criminal on a Roman cross. He never wrote anything. He taught people and did gather some followers, but they all deserted him when he died. And normally, when a person dies, the impact that they had diminishes. If we were creating a list of who was most likely to impact the world, you'd think Jesus might finish in dead last. But no, Jesus is the biggest game changer the world has ever known. You might think, well, of course you're going to say that, a pastor in church, but it's not just pastors who say that. Listen to what Yale historian Jaroslav Pelikan wrote. Put it on the screen. Regardless of what anyone may personally think or believe about him, Jesus of Nazareth has been the dominant figure in the history of Western culture for almost 20 centuries. If it were possible with some sort of super magnet to pull up out of history every scrap of metal bearing at least a trace of his name, how much would be left? It's mind-boggling when you take a look at the impact Jesus has had in our world. Like, Jesus elevated the value of people who had little to no value. For instance, women. Up until the time of Jesus, women were not equal to men. They were basically thought of as the property of men. But Jesus had women amongst his disciples. Two sisters, Mary and Martha, Joanna, Mary Magdalene. It was unheard of. It was scandalous. And the status of women was elevated by Jesus. Someday you should do this project when you've got some time. Get out a world map and highlight in a certain color all the places where, at least at some point, there was a significant movement of Christianity, where a decent percentage of people became followers of Jesus. And then take a different color highlighter and highlight all the places in the world where women today have rights, where they're not viewed as the property of men, they're not viewed as less than, where women have the opportunity to be educated, to own property, to have a job, to vote. And what you'll realize is that you highlighted the exact same areas twice. Groups like Amnesty International come out with a list every year of the worst countries to be a woman. And the top of the list is Afghanistan, DR Congo, Pakistan, Somalia, India, Iraq, Nepali, and Mali. All of those are countries where Christianity has never taken root, where to this day, the percentage of Christians is still 1 or 2% or less. But it's where people have listened to the teachings of Jesus and sought to follow those teachings, his example, where women have been respected and given rights. And everywhere else in the world, it just hasn't happened. And that's no coincidence. And it makes you go, It's not just women, also children. At the time of Jesus, children were not considered people. Literally, they were considered the property of their parents. So it was bad. So if you didn't want your kid, it was no problem. If you had a baby and it was born in a gender that you didn't like, if there was any kind of deformity, or if you just decided you didn't want your kid, what people would do is they would put it outside and let the wild animals eat it. And no one had a problem with that. It was common practice until Jesus. He came and he showed love and respect to kids. Total game changer. In fact, there's a historian, his name is O.M. Back, and he writes about this in a book called When Children Became People, The Birth of Childhood in Early Christianity. Women, children, also slaves. So the abolitionist movement that finally put an end to slavery in England and then later in America was started by people who believed slavery was wrong because of their faith in Jesus. It was totally countercultural, but they believed it because Jesus taught that all people are created in the image of God, and therefore everyone has inherent value and are equal. Those ideas did not exist before Jesus. If you read former Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice's writings, she points this out, that the idea that all people are created equal was not a part of the fabric of the ancient world. We believe that today because of Jesus. And the belief that Jesus gave to people changed the way people lived. Condoleezza Rice writes, which is really difficult to say, it turns out. I found that out in our first service. Try sometimes saying Rice writes. It's not easy. Condoleezza Rice writes, Christians would minister to the sick and disabled and build hospitals, pursue universal education, spread teaching through their universities, and lift up the poor in faraway places, for they would inherit the earth. It's true. And it's not just the abolition of slavery. Did you know that Christians, in the name of Christ, started the majority of hospitals in the world? And that the church is still the largest single provider of health care for the world's poorest places? And that the church leads the world in providing free health care for the terminally ill? Also, Christians and churches have led the way in starting programs for the poor and marginalized. Free schooling for poor children, the world's largest orphanage system, debt relief for the poor. Christians have also been pioneers in foster care, in social work, in campaigning for laws to protect children from abuse. If you look at the history of prison reform and labor reform, every expert will tell you that it was Christ followers who were trying to live out the teachings of Jesus that led to those reforms. It was Christians who started the 12-step programs where they took biblical principles and provided steps that people could follow to help them find a path of healing and towards wholeness. Christians who are motivated by Christ's love initiated programs and developments to help the handicapped, including education for the deaf and the Braille system. Both were Christian initiatives. We see this in education as well. So churches founded the 100 of the first 110 universities in America. Movements for world literacy were started and pushed on by Christians. The idea of educating young children, including the start of the first kindergartens, was a result of people who were trying to live out their faith. Which means you learned the incredibly important skill of finger painting because of some Christians who wanted to make sure you went to kindergarten. Hashtag grateful. Check this out. The Royal Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, that was a Christian initiative. So many of the world's philanthropic organizations are Christian, like World Vision and Compassion International, which provide food and education for children who have no access to it. Groups like Habitat for Humanity, which provide homes for the poor. Organizations like Salvation Army and Red Cross and YMCA all started as Christian initiatives by people trying to live out the love of Jesus. And Jesus has just had this massive and undeniable impact on history. He was a total game changer, and it makes you go, why? Why? And how? Like, how did all of that happen? Well, it happened by Jesus changing one life at a time. Jesus changed the lives of people who chose to follow him, and then he inspired those followers to change the world. You see, changing people's lives is something Jesus is really good at. There's a pastor named Tommy Oakes, and years ago I heard him do this thing where he imagined a salesman from back in Jesus' time. I shared this with you like 5 or 6 years ago. If you're like an old-timer verver, you might be like, I remember this. So he imagines, what if this traveling salesman 1 year just so happened to follow the same route as Jesus? Jesus was always going from town to town. And what if, just by chance, this salesman followed the same path as one particular year? So his sales route always started off in the Gerasene country. And when you're going into the Gerasene country, you had to be really careful to get there before sundown. And the reason is that you had to walk past a graveyard to get into the town. And there was a crazy man who lived in the graveyard. I mean, this guy was insane. He was naked. He was scary. People were horrified of him. True story. And so this particular year, he's going into the Gerasene country, and it's past sundown, and it hits him. He's like, oh, no. But this time, when he goes past that graveyard, something really weird happens. Nothing happens. So the next morning, he's at a diner, and he's eating breakfast with his business associate. They were eating I don't know what they're eating. They were eating waffles. And he says to his business associate, he said, hey, weirdest thing happened to me last night. What happened? I came in after sundown. So I walked right past the graveyard. And nothing happened. So What about the guy? What guy? The guy. Oh, you mean the guy in, who lives in the graveyard, and we try to chain him up, and he's naked, and he's bloody, and he's crazy, and he howls at the moon, everyone's scared. Yeah, that guy. He says, you see that guy over there sitting and eating his breakfast? You mean the guy who's very well-dressed and well-mannered? That guy? That's the guy. It is not. That's the guy. And so this salesman walks over and he introduces himself, and he can see the chain marks on the guy's arms. It's the guy. And so he goes back and he's like, hey, what happened to him? You want to know what happened to him? You can read the whole story in Mark chapter 5 in the Bible. Jesus happened to him. Jesus met this guy, and this guy got changed. Because changing people is something that Jesus is really good at. Well, the next stop in this man's sales route was Jericho. And he never liked going into Jericho because it was so hard, almost impossible to make a sale there. The reason is because of the tax collector in Jericho, this really greedy man named Zacchaeus. You guys want an insight? This morning in my brain, I said this really, and I guess I couldn't decide if I should say greedy or stingy, and I said this really gringy man. And I paused and I went, gringy, is that a word? And a bunch of people nodded yes. And so I went, okay, he was a gringy man. And afterwards, I'm like, that is not a word. You guys will disagree. Whatever I say, no, it's not a word. Anyway, this really, I'm going to go with greedy man or gringy man named Zacchaeus. He's the tax collector. And what he would do is he would take people's taxes, and then he would demand lots of extra money, and there was nothing you could do to stop him. And so he took everybody's money. No one had money to buy what this guy was selling. But this time, he comes into town, and people are lining up, and they're spending money, and they're free with their money, and they're buying stuff. And he's like, what happened here? And this lady says, I got a refund. And somebody else says, I got 400% back on my back taxes. And the salesman says, what? What happened? And they say, if you really want to know, go talk to Zacchaeus. And you can read the story in Luke 19, but what happened was Zacchaeus met Jesus. And this greedy man became generous. And he gave everyone back their money and more because Jesus changed him. And changing people is something Jesus is really good at. And the salesman, he sees it in town after town, place after place. The salesman goes into another town and he asks some people, hey, I came into town. What happened to the blind guy who's always out there begging when I come into town? Where'd he go? Oh, he's working in the local factory. What? Yeah, he's operating the machinery over there. How can he do that? He can't do that. He's blind. He's not blind anymore. What do you mean he's not blind anymore? How did that happen? Jesus happened. And then he asked, well, when I was coming into town, before I got in town, what about those 10 lepers who always were out in that leper colony? I went past it. Their whole campsite is empty. Did they all die since I was here last? No, they didn't die. They all went home to their family. No, they can't. They can't go home to their families. Their families will get leprosy. No, they won't. Why not? Because they met Jesus and their leprosy is gone. They're not lepers anymore. Place after place, person after person, all change. And the common denominator is that they all met Jesus. Changing people is something Jesus is really good at. And it wasn't just healing stuff either. It was like personality stuff. Like people who had been really mean become really loving. And people who had lived in fear start becoming really courageous. Changing people is something Jesus is really good at. I mentioned that blind guy who Jesus healed. If you want to read his story, it's in John chapter 9. And this man, he had been blind from birth, never has seen anything. Jesus meets him, touches him, gives him sight for the first time. People are skeptical. Like, they cannot believe that this guy who can see is the same guy who couldn't see, which is ridiculous. He still looks exactly the same, but they just can't believe that this could possibly happen. So finally, his parents are called in to verify that this is their son and not some imposter. And here's what his parents say in John chapter 9, verse 20. They say, we know he is our son, the parents answered, and we know he was born blind. Well, the religious leaders are upset. They were always threatened by Jesus because Jesus did not teach religion. He taught relationship, relationship with God, relationship with other people. That's why if you're around here much, you realize we are not about religion. We are about relationship. And so the religious leaders were threatened by Jesus. And so they go to the blind guy and who was healed, and they tell him, because they're trying to discredit Jesus in front of everybody from the town. They say, the man who healed you was a sinner. And I love the guy's response. Look what he says. He replied, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. How can you argue with that? You can't, right? But when a person's life has been transformed by Jesus, you can try, but you just can't deny it. It's kind of like the 400-pound guy wearing a t-shirt that says, I beat anorexia. Like, how do you argue with that one, right? It's like, I guess you did, right? Changing people is something Jesus is really good at. He was a game changer, and it just makes you go, And it's not just back then, it's still today. So if you had a traveling salesman who spent time amongst the people here at Verve, this guy, man, he would hear stories of atheists who found faith and had their lives turned upside down by Jesus here. And porn stars who left their jobs and found real fulfillment in God. And people who had marriages that were falling apart, but they've been put back together. And people who were miserable and depressed, but are now experiencing joy. We have seen hundreds of lives changed by the game changer. One of the cool things about Verve is that we are church for people who don't like church. We started this church for not people who already believe, but for people who don't believe. And we have seen so many people come to faith in Jesus and have their lives changed by him. Changing people is something Jesus is really good at. And again, you might think, well, of course the pastor's going to say that, right? Like that's what pastors say in churches. But again, it's not just pastors. So check this one out. There is a two-time Pulitzer Prize-winning investigative journalist named Nicholas Kristof. He is a regular columnist for the New York Times. He is not a believer. He is not a Christian. He decided to investigate and study Christians. Here's the conclusion he came to. He writes, Christians are disproportionately likely to donate 10% of their incomes to charities, mostly church-related. More important, go to the front lines at home or abroad in the battles against hunger, malaria, prison rape, obstetric fistula, human trafficking, or genocide. And some of the bravest people you meet are evangelical Christians who truly live their faith. Man, if you're not a believer, doesn't all of that make you go, I mean, how else do you explain all that except to believe that Jesus is real and that changing people is something Jesus is really good at? If you are a believer, I want to call your attention to the last phrase of that quote. He said, Christians who truly live their faith. Some people wonder, if Jesus changes lives, why isn't my life being changed? Some people wonder, if Christians can change the world like that, why aren't more of them having more of an impact? Wanna know why? Because some people just believe. They believe in Jesus. He was God, he lived, he died, he rose from the dead. But Jesus never asked people to just believe. And believing doesn't change your life. And it doesn't change the world. The Bible tells us that. So the Bible says, faith without actions is dead. It's in the book of James. It also says, you say you have faith? Good for you, even the demons believe. So it's saying, you have faith? Big deal. But a lot of people would say, no, that is the big deal. No, I mean, faith is a big deal, but real faith is a trust in Jesus. It's not just intellectual assent to facts. Jesus lived, Jesus died, Jesus rose. That's not faith. Faith is a real trust in Jesus. Real faith is trusting that Jesus is right about everything, and therefore you surrender your life, your entire life, to him, and you do whatever he says to do. That's real faith. Real faith is entering into a relationship with him and into a new way of life in him. So from now on, because of my faith in Jesus, I will live the way Jesus lived, and I will do whatever Jesus tells me to do. That's real faith. And you might think, that seems beyond me. I don't know that I'm capable of living like that. That's totally okay. Want to know why? Because when you give your life to Jesus, he gives his life to you. Like he lives inside of you to live his life through you. The Bible says in Philippians 3:9 that the power of his resurrection comes into you. God comes into you to empower you to live the life he has for you. See, becoming a Christian isn't just being forgiven so you can get into heaven someday. It's God getting heaven into you today. I'll say that again. Becoming a Christian isn't being forgiven so you can get into heaven someday. It's God getting heaven into you today. Jesus, one time his followers asked him how to pray. He said, here's how to pray. And one of the things he taught them to say was in the book of Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, he said, pray like this, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so Jesus is saying, what we should pray for, what it means to be a follower of Jesus, is living in a way that we bring heaven to earth. We're allowing heaven, God, to get heaven into us by surrendering every part of our lives to his leadership and by making decisions to live the way Jesus lived and do whatever he tells me to do. When we do that, God's will is being done and our lives are changed. And people will say, And man, you get a church full of people who are allowing Jesus to do that in them, they will change the world. That's why our church has started churches in India and Ecuador and Poland. That's why we partner with Compassion International in Ecuador to help kids living in poverty get food to eat every day. It's the only food most of them get any day, and to get an education. That's why we've started ministries in India to get little kids and women out of sex trafficking. And it's why we've built houses in Mexico for homeless families. It's all because Jesus has changed our lives. Jesus changed our lives, and so, yeah. And by the way we do all of that is money. All the impact we've had around the world, all of it has come through money. That's how it works. And so I say that to say, if you have given consistently and generously here, thank you. Thank you. It's because of you that you are a part of changing the world and making people say, on a global scale. And if you're someone who has not yet ever given consistently and generously, you can start now. And when you do, you will be a part of helping us create an even bigger impact in Vegas and beyond. And the reason we do that, the reason we give generously, the reason we get so excited about all this is because Jesus changed our lives. Jesus changed our lives. That's why we adopted Marble Manor. So Marble Manor is a housing project. It's considered probably the worst housing project in Las Vegas, one of the worst in America when it comes to crime, drugs, poverty, gangs. And we are there every week helping kids with their homework, helping kids to read. We give them food. We celebrate birthdays. We play games. If you're interested in volunteering at Marble Manor, it's 5:30 to 7 p.m. every Monday and every Wednesday. If you decide to volunteer, you'd get scheduled for once a month unless you want to do more. And I will tell you, I'm there at least once a month every month. It is easy. Like, you just sit there and a couple kids are around you and you help them with homework and you read a book to them. It is easy, and you will be a game changer. You will change those kids' lives. And we have a special opportunity to serve at Marble Manor this Saturday, even if you can't do Mondays or Wednesdays, that doesn't work for you, because this Saturday we are throwing a Halloween party for the kids of Marble Manor. We're going to have trunk or treating, we're going to have games and food, it's going to be a great time. We still need two things that you could please help us with. We still need more candy, and so we're collecting candy to give to the kids. You could drop it off by Thursday at 5, and that would be good, out in the lobby. And we still need more volunteers. And so you could sign up today. We need to know you're coming. And so if you just show up, we're going to be like, oh, man, we've got everybody in certain positions. So if you could sign up today at the Velcro Bar, you will have a blast. Even still, you might wonder, why would I do that? Like, Saturday's my day off. Why would I do that? Because Jesus is a game changer. And he wants to get heaven into you and have you bring heaven to earth. He wants to change your life and make you a game changer. And don't you want that? Like, can you just imagine how that would infuse your life with purpose and meaning and fulfillment? Like, don't you want that to happen in you? And don't you want to be a part of making that happen in our city and in the world? I know I do. So let's pray together for that. Let's pray. God, thank you for sending Jesus. And Jesus, thank you for being the game changer. It's undeniable. People who are historians, who don't believe in you, look at the history of the world, study Christians, and they say, man, Jesus had the greatest impact in human history. And Jesus' followers are having the greatest impact of all people today. Thank you that you are so good at changing lives and that you empower us and inspire us to change the world. God, maybe there are some people in this room right now who have never surrendered their life to you and need to. And I pray that happens soon. And God, there's a bunch of us in this room who have surrendered our lives to you, but the reality is for all of us that we tend to kind of pull back. You know, we have certain areas of our lives. Maybe it's our finances or our time or our sex lives, whatever, that we're like, I'm not going to surrender that part to you. We have these fears. But God, it's not until we surrender all of us to all of you that you will really have access to change our lives and allow us to change the world. So God, would you help us to make the decision today? I want to put my faith in Jesus, which means I trust that Jesus is right about everything, and I will live the way Jesus lived, and I will do what Jesus says to do. I surrender to you, God. God, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.